Married at First Sight. Chapter 3161. Ms. Gerard entered the room. Her parents-in-law had already gotten up from the sofa, and her mother-in-law came to greet her. There was a kind smile on her face. Ainsley is back. Ms. Gerard's full name is Ainsley Gerard. Mom, I'm back. No matter how tired Ainsley was, when she returned home and saw her parents-in-law and her son, she felt at ease. As long as everyone was healthy, she felt it was worth it, no matter how tired she was. Mrs. Gerard said, "Are you hungry? I made some soup for you and left you with a bowl. It's still hot. I will bring it out for you to drink. The company has been very busy lately. Every night when you come back and see me, you are tired and have lost a lot of weight. I felt distressed when I saw you. It was your short life that made you so tired." Mrs. Gerard's eyes turned red again when she mentioned her short-lived only son. Even if her son had been dead for 7 years, she would feel uncomfortable whenever she mentioned it. Ainsley became a mother, and she was also an only child. Normally, her son would have a cold or a fever, and she, as a mother, would be anxious and uncomfortable, wishing she could get sick for her son. She couldn't even imagine that she would go crazy if she lost her only son just after entering old age. Therefore, she can understand how her parents-in-law feel. "Well, then I'll have a bowl of soup." Ainsley wasn't hungry. She had just returned from socializing, but she didn't want to betray her mother-in-law's kindness. It was just a bowl of soup, but she could still drink it. Ainsley greeted her father-in-law again and handed the bag to the servant, who helped her put it away. The son sat on her lap, and Ainsley naturally hugged him. Ainsley said, "Dad, Mom, you don't have to wait for me from now on. Go to bed early. Son, you too, go to bed early. You don't have to wait for Mom." The son said, "I have to wait until my mother comes back before I sleep. My mother is not at home during the day. If I don't wait for my mother to come back, I won't be able to see her." The son didn't follow the rules. Ainsley said sadly, "It's me who is sorry for you. I'm busy with things in the company and don't have time to accompany you." As long as she had someone to rely on, she wouldn't have to be so tired. Only she knew how bitter it was for a widow to raise a son and then support her husband's family. Despite all the sadness, Ainsley was particularly envious of Liberty. Liberty had a younger sister, Serenity. The two sisters had been dependent on each other for many years and had a very deep relationship. Even if Serenity doesn't marry into a wealthy family, she can be Liberty's support. If her husband's family bullies Liberty, Serenity can express her anger on her sister's behalf. After marrying into a wealthy family and receiving the support of the York family, Serenity was not only kind to her sister and nephew, not to mention herself. For Liberty, even if the sky falls, Serenity will help hold her up. As for her, Ainsley, her parents were alive, as were her brothers and sisters. They were thinking about how to divide her husband's family's property, but she insisted on guarding it to the death. Her mother-in-law's family scolded her for her stupidity, pointing out that her husband's family had no blood relationship with her. Why was she guarding so closely? It pissed her off half to death. No matter how miserable and tired she was, she would not go back to her parents' home for help. Those were vampires. If they became entangled, they would sweep the country her husband's family had conquered for generations clean. What would her son inherit, then? It was true that her mother's family were her relatives, but her old age would be placed on her son, who was closer to her. Her son inherited everything from her husband's family, including everything she earned. No matter how much she owed to her parents always gave it to her brother and sister-in-law. Chapter 3162. Ainsley was so tired that she spent money sparingly. Her sister-in-law spent money lavishly and lived a more unrestrained life than she did. Parents would feel sorry for their son and daughter-in-law, but they couldn't feel sorry for her as a daughter. Suck blood from her daughter to give her daughter-in-law a good life, these were her relatives. The son turned around and hugged her and said softly, "Mom, you're not sorry for me. I know that you're very tired. You're doing it for me, to make me live a better life. Mom, I will study hard and become useful when I grow up. I'll be your backer, protect you, and don't make you so tired." Ainsley hugged her son's thin body and said happily, "My son is the most sensible. As long as you are healthy and safe, I will feel at ease. Your grades, you have made great progress now, and I'm satisfied. Not all children are good at reading. Some children are very smart, but they are not as good as others or even very poor at reading. You can't say that your child is stupid or useless." Ainsley's son was just a little behind in learning, but he was still very smart in life. Ainsley didn't dare to expect her son to be very powerful, as long as he had the ability to protect the family property. Ainsley's son said, "Mom, I can still make progress. Well, I believe in you, but the most important thing is your body. Don't be too picky about food, you know. Eat fewer snacks and more meals. People are made of rice. To grow taller, you must eat more vegetables. You are too thin now. You're a little thinner than other kids of your same age." The little guy pursed his lips but nodded. He simply has a picky mouth. The mother-in-law brought a bowl of tonic soup to Ainsley. "Thank you, Mom." Ainsley let go of her son and took the bowl of soup from her mother-in-law. It was still a little hot, so she put down the soup bowl. The mother-in-law sat down next to the father-in-law. Ainsley told the two elders about the company's recent business. While her husband was still alive, he took over the business from his parents-in-law. Now that they are older and have lost their only son, they cannot muster the energy to take care of the business anymore, but that doesn't mean they don't know what's going on in the company. Ainsley was supportive of her husband's family. She had no other selfish motives, so she talked to her parents-in-law about company affairs every day. Her husband's family had more and more property, which belonged to her children and grandchildren. "Both your parents believe in you. Just make your decision. They also believe that your vision is getting better and better." The mother-in-law, Mrs. Gerard, said it warmly. When her son took over the company, it suffered losses one after another, and she was very concerned. Now that she has been in charge for 7 years, she is no longer the ignorant Ainsley she used to be. Mrs. Gerard said, "Ainsley, if you meet a suitable man with good character, just find one. Our grandson, Zane, is still young and needs his father's love. Your father and I are getting older, and we don't know when we will have sex. Kick it off and leave. By then, it will be just you and your son. I don't know how those people will bully you. A family, especially a family like ours, without a young and powerful man is particularly vulnerable to bullying. Ainsley picked up the bowl of soup and drank it slowly. Her parents-in-law and Zane stared at her. Zane wanted to have a father, but he was afraid that his stepfather would not be good. Everyone else has a father, but his died long ago. He could only know what his father looked like by looking at photos. He was more than 2 years old when his father died, and he had no memory of him. Stepfather. His classmates said that most stepfathers were bad. His family was wealthy, but he was also afraid that his stepfather would take his money. His grandma, Mrs. Gerard, often told his mother that if she remarried, she would easily be plotted against her money, so it was better to give her money to his uncle. Every time Grandma said that, his mother got very angry. Zane knew that Grandma was not well-intentioned. Why should his uncle receive the profits from the company his great-grandfather, grandfather, and father ran? Chapter 3163. Ainsley finished drinking a bowl of soup, put down the soup bowl, took out a tissue, wiped her mouth, and said to her son in a warm voice, "Son, you go upstairs and have a rest. You have to get up early for school tomorrow." Zane was very sensible. He knew what his mother wanted to say and didn't want him to know. He got up, said good night to his grandparents and mother, and went upstairs. Ainsley watched Zane go upstairs. When his figure disappeared on the stairs, she said softly to her parents-in-law, "Dad, Mom, I know you are all doing it for Zane and me, but the good men in Wiltspoon are much younger than me and unmarried. Besides those boys, there is another one who is quite suitable for me. He is a few years older than me and has not yet entered into marriage. He is very good, but his appearance is disfiguring. At first glance, you will find him a bit scary. But he has his own company, is worth tens of billions, is richer than our family, and has a good character, so he won't miss our family's property." The parents-in-law looked at each other, and the mother-in-law immediately asked, "Who is it?" "I know him, right. Both my parents know him. He is the fourth young master of the Lewis family and the boss of Lewis & Co., Duncan Lewis. In-laws, Duncan Lewis." Her mother-in-law immediately objected. After Duncan was in a car accident, his legs were disabled. Although he is undergoing rehabilitation, who knows when he will recover. The scar on his face is too scary, it will scare Zane. Duncan's conditions and character are quite good, but as you said, he is disabled now and is in a wheelchair. You recruit a man to come back, mainly for you to rely on and to take care of you and your son. I'm not asking you to take care of him. Duncan simply cannot live without someone, and he needs someone to take care of him at all times. Duncan also likes liberty. This is something everyone in Wiltspoon knows. If he had a car accident, it would be because of liberty. Duncan, Josh, and Zachary are all good buddies. They all agree that individuals who share similar interests tend to form strong bonds. Josh and Zachary are dedicated to their relationships. These are men who love their wives. Duncan will also be such a man. He already loves liberty. Once he falls in love with liberty, he won't choose any other woman. The two of them have already confirmed their relationship. If you like Duncan, Aren't you going to compete with Liberty or even be the third party in someone else's relationship? Ainsley, besides Duncan, isn't there anyone suitable? Both parents-in-law opposed Ainsley and Duncan being together. It was unknown whether Duncan was willing to be with Ainsley. However, people would refer to Ainsley as a mistress as long as she pursued Duncan. They didn't want their daughter-in-law to become someone else's mistress. That would have a huge negative impact on the company's reputation. Additionally, they would become hesitant to socialize, and others might reprimand their grandson as a result. Ainsley sighed and said, "Except for Duncan, I haven't met the right person yet. No matter how good the others are, they are just trying to make money for our family. How can I have the courage to associate with them? I am a widow with a son, so it is not easy to find one. Many people despise women who remarry with a son. It would be easier to remarry with a daughter. No matter how powerful she was a widow in the eyes of others. It is always said that men and women are equal, but in fact, in real society, there is always a bit of prejudice against women." Ainsley rejected the pursuit of many men who came for her money, and they went around slandering her reputation, saying that she had kept so many beauties in private and that changing beauties was like changing clothes. She also said that her husband died at a young age and was killed by her. She claimed to be her husband's slave and threatened to kill anyone who married her. Chapter 3164. Ainsley said, "Liberty is divorced and has a son. Duncan doesn't dislike her, and she treats her son well. Everyone can see that Duncan's love for Sonny comes from the bottom of his heart. He exhibits tolerance towards his stepsons and does not harbor resentment towards his wife's divorce or husband's death. He is the most suitable for me. Liberty is a divorced woman, and she is not very capable. She can find a good man who is 100 times better than her ex-husband. I consider myself to be better than her, so am I not worthy of Duncan?" Duncan and Liberty became lovers, so what? They didn't get a marriage certificate, so I still have a chance to compete. I went to investigate the possibility of a cure for Duncan's leg injury, and the doctor insisted on rehabilitation for next year. It's possible to return to normal. Ainsley believed she was better than Liberty and more worthy than Duncan. She wanted to fight for herself and her son. After marrying Duncan, she didn't have to worry about being bad to her son. Seeing Duncan's love for Sonny, she felt jealous for her son. People who didn't know, seeing Duncan's attitude towards Sonny, would think that they were father and son. Mrs. Gerard persuaded her earnestly, "If you say that, people will still call you a mistress. Ainsley, you have to think twice. If you really can't find a suitable one, just stay alone and raise Zane so that he can take over. You can retire and enjoy peace and happiness. That's how life will be." Mrs. Gerard didn't want to see her daughter-in-law, Ainsley, so tired alone, but she also didn't want her to be a mistress. Mrs. Gerard added, "It's true that Liberty is a divorced woman, but her sister is the eldest mistress of the York family. Zachary is a maniac who dotes on his wife. You know they'll help Liberty without asking. Let them know that you are going to compete with Liberty for Duncan. Our company cannot afford the joint suppression by the York Corporation and the Stone Group. Duncan may not like you. Ainsley, he is really not suitable for you. Don't ruin your reputation because of him. It will also bring harm to our company. The father-in-law, Mr. Gerard, also said, Ainsley, your mother is right. If Duncan was not with Liberty and was not disabled, he would be suitable for you. But now that he is disabled, he has become a lover of Liberty. Mrs. Lewis, who is very smart, now accepts Liberty. There is really no need for you to wade into that muddy water. Mrs. Lewis dislikes Liberty for being a divorced woman, and she will dislike you too. Ainsley was a widow after her husband died, and Mrs. Lewis probably disliked her even more. The Lewis family's threshold was high, and it was not something ordinary women could cross. If Duncan hadn't been disabled, Mrs. Lewis wouldn't have been able to accept Liberty. After listening to her parents-in-law's sincere persuasion, Ainsley was silent for a long time, then sighed and said, Liberty is not in Wiltspoon now. I heard that she went to Jensburg to open a company. Before her new company is stable, I think she will stay in Jensburg. It will take at least a year and a half, or even several years. While she is not in Wiltspoon, I will investigate Duncan's intentions. If I can make Duncan choose me, others will not say anything. I will not pursue Duncan openly. I will just flirt with him and test it out. I will give up and only do business with him. Ainsley had said this, what else could the parents-in-law say? Chapter 3165. Dad, Mom, we won't resolve this matter in a day or two. You don't have to worry too much or think too much. I'm no longer an 18-year-old girl who doesn't understand. If the situation goes against me, I will get out immediately. Yes, it won't harm our families or Zane's reputation. It's very late. You guys should go and have a rest. I just finished a bowl of soup and am feeling a little tired. I'll go for a walk to eat and rest again. With that said, Ainsley got up and walked outside the house. Mrs. Gerard told her, Ainsley, you've been tired for a day, don't walk too far, come back early and rest because you have to go out early tomorrow. Every day, there were countless meetings and documents to process. It was very tiring for one person to manage a huge company. During the day, they didn't dare to call Ainsley if they had nothing to do because Ainsley didn't have time to answer the phone. Zane was the one who called Ainsley. After answering, Ainsley said she was busy and hung up. Mom, I know. You and Dad should go and rest, Ainsley said. Then she walked out of the main room. The parents-in-law watched her disappear. After looking at each other for a moment, they sighed and went upstairs. Ainsley was wandering in the yard, that is, in the dead of night, she could relax her mood and tense nerves. She recalled that when her husband was still alive, the couple often walked hand in hand in the courtyard. Now, she is alone. We promised to grow old together, but you let me live alone without keeping your words. Even if I find a new man, I still can't fall in love with him. My heart was taken away by you a long time ago, and I died with you. You are so heartless. You left me and my children behind. You were even willing to leave your parents behind. Husband, I want to find someone I can rely on. Duncan is a great fit for me and our family. If you have a spirit in heaven and take pity on us old and young, please bless me to be with Duncan and let Liberty leave Duncan alone. I don't want to bear the name of mistress. Liberty had a dream one night, and it was bizarre. When she woke up, the dream she remembered contained a woman, whose face she couldn't clearly see, telling her that Duncan no longer wanted her and urging her to leave Duncan immediately. After a while, Liberty sat up with her eyes open, looking at the ceiling. She thought about it during the day and dreamed about it at night. Just last night, Serenity told her that she might have a love rival. She had a dream one night. Was she secretly concerned that someone would steal Duncan? After sitting on the bed for a while, Liberty got out of bed to change clothes, then washed herself, then sat in front of the dressing table and put on exquisite makeup. After looking in the mirror for a moment and thinking that she was in good condition, Liberty picked up her phone and first sent a message to Serenity, asking her, "Has Sunny gone to kindergarten?" Serenity quickly sent a photo, which was of the kindergarten entrance. Serenity had just sent Sunny to kindergarten when she received a message from Liberty. She looked for Mrs. Lab at the kindergarten entrance again today, but she still didn't see her. Could it be that Mrs. Lab is really not Carrie, and the previous few encounters were just by chance? Liberty smiled back at Serenity and sent a voice message, "I'm going to pack breakfast and go back to the company. Let's talk when we are free in the evening." Serenity said, "Sister, haven't you had breakfast yet? You must eat on time. Don't neglect meals because you are busy. No matter how important business is, it is not as important as eating." Chapter 3166. Serenity was a foodie, so she felt that eating was the most important thing in the world. No matter how big the deal was, she would have to eat first before discussing it. Liberty smiled. "I got up late today. If I go back to the company after breakfast, I will be late. So I might as well pack up and go back to the company to eat. After eating, I just have a morning meeting. You should be busy. I want to go back this weekend to spend some time with Sunny." Serenity hummed. Liberty packed breakfast, and after returning to the company, she finished the breakfast as quickly as possible before it was time for the meeting. Then she sent a voice message to Duncan, saying, "I had a dream one night. I always dreamed that a woman whose face I couldn't see came to me and said, 'You don't want me anymore,' and you asked me to leave you." Duncan, who was undergoing rehabilitation, did not listen to her voice message immediately. After Liberty sent the voice message, she didn't wait for his reply. The secretary reminded her that it was time for a meeting. Half an hour later, Duncan paused to rest before retrieving the mobile phone from the wheelchair. Liberty sent him a new WhatsApp message, which he eagerly opened and listened to. Duncan lost his calm after hearing Liberty's voice message. He wanted to call Liberty immediately, but he was afraid that she was busy, so he sent a message to her first, "Liberty, are you busy?" Liberty never responded after sending the message, indicating to Duncan that she was preoccupied. Duncan was anxious, but he couldn't disturb Liberty. He stopped doing rehabilitation, sat back in the wheelchair, and steered it away from the lawn and back to the house. 10 minutes later, the bodyguard pushed Duncan out of the main room and walked to his car. Soon, the bodyguard drove away from the Lewis family mansion. Duncan always had a sullen face, and anyone who saw his expression knew that he was in a bad mood. When they were approaching Lewis & Co., Duncan suddenly said, "Go to the York Corporation." The bodyguard responded respectfully, then turned the car around at an intersection, drove to the opposite street, then turned into another street, heading towards the York Corporation. In less than 10 minutes, they arrived at the York Corporation. Duncan was Zachary's best friend, and the two major groups had in-depth cooperation. As long as Duncan came over, he didn't need to pass the call or make an appointment. At any time, he could take the elevator to the top floor to meet Zachary. Normally, Duncan would maneuver the wheelchair by himself. Today, he was anxious and asked his bodyguards to push him. After reaching the top floor and getting out of the elevator, Zachary's secretary came to greet him. "Mr. Lewis." Duncan nodded slightly and then asked, "Is Zachary in the office?" "Mr. Lewis, Mr. York is inside. He already knows that you're coming. You can just knock on the door and go in." The secretary thought Duncan would come over to continue discussing cooperation with his boss on new projects. Duncan nodded towards his secretary. The bodyguard knocked on the door of the president's office for him, and the bodyguard pushed him in as secretary. Zachary looked up, and when he saw it was him, he lowered his head to review the documents. Duncan signaled to the bodyguard that he could go out. He stood up from the wheelchair, took 2 steps, and sat down on the black chair opposite Zachary. Zachary closed the folder, looked up at Duncan for a minute, and asked, "Duncan, you seem to have something on your mind. What happened? Tell me and see if I can help you." Duncan anxiously came to Zachary to find out if Liberty had said anything to Serenity, but when he saw Zachary, he didn't know what to say. Chapter 3167. Liberty just said that she had a dream, and because of that dream, Duncan gave up going back to the company and came to take up Zachary's precious time. Duncan was afraid that Zachary would laugh at him. However, he felt uneasy in his heart, always feeling that Liberty would not have such a dream for no reason. People say that Liberty has something to ponder each day and something to dream about at night. Did someone say something to Liberty, causing Liberty to have random thoughts, and then she had a dream like that last night? You can say whatever you want. We have been friends for many years. Good buddies. Is there anything else we can't say? Zachary stood up, walked around the desk, and asked Duncan, "Are you drinking coffee, tea, or warm water?" "Duncan, I want coffee. There should be some coffee in the tea room. Let me take a look. If not, I'll give you warm water," Zachary said. He entered the small tea room. After a while, he came out with 2 cups of steaming coffee. "Also, give me a drink, and I'll have a drink." Zachary placed a cup of coffee in front of Duncan. He sat back down, put down the coffee cup, and asked, "Is it related to my sister?" Duncan wouldn't be in such a hurry when it came to business matters. He would just give him the call instead of making the trip in person. Zachary guessed that Duncan came to him because his beloved wife mentioned Ainsley's matter to his eldest sister, and her eldest sister said something to Duncan. Duncan glared at Zachary and said, "You really know something. Did Serenity say something to her sister?" "The two sisters talk on the phone and send messages every day. If Serenity doesn't tell me what they talk about, I won't know." Zachary didn't say it right away. "What did my sister tell you?" Instead of answering, Duncan pulled out his mobile phone, opened WhatsApp, and showed Zachary the message Liberty had sent. After Zachary read it, Duncan said, "Liberty has never had such a dream." It must have been something Serenity said to her sister that made Liberty dream. Did Serenity say bad things about me in front of her sister? I usually see Serenity talking to her about me. Zachary, don't accuse my wife wrongly. My wife has never said anything bad about you. Do you know what dreams my sister has had? How do you know she has never had such a dream? A mistress interfered and ruined my sister's last marriage, leading to a divorce. Subconsciously, she may have been worried that a mistress would interfere with your relationship. Is it weird to have such a dream? Furthermore, this is only a dream. Didn't you read the message my sister sent you? She said it was a woman whose face she couldn't see clearly, which means she didn't even know who she was. She said it might not exist at all, but it's just the shadow brought on by her previous marriage. Duncan stopped talking. He thought Zachary's analysis made sense. Was that really the case? Zachary added, "However, my sister would have such a dream, which means that she feels that the relationship between you two is not strong enough, and she does not have enough confidence in you and herself, so she subconsciously worries that someone will destroy your relationship." Duncan said, "My feelings for her can be judged by the sun and the moon. Apart from her, I will never love another woman. I am too old to play with feelings. Furthermore, I have never thought of playing with emotions. I am absolutely sincere to her." Chapter 3168. Duncan continued, "After so much, she still can't trust me? Doesn't she have confidence in herself? My parents and everyone in my family have accepted her, and no one objects to us being together anymore. Everyone in my family is looking forward to it. If we get married early, what else does she have to worry about? I'm not Hank, I'm definitely not Hank. No matter how many women are better than Liberty out there, I won't like them. I won't marry anyone but her in this life." After a pause, Duncan asked his friend, "Zachary, do you want me to get the certificate with your sister early? In the past, she was unwilling to marry me, but later, I felt that I was disabled and didn't want to drag her down. Before I recovered, I didn't want to get the certificate from her. Is this why she loses confidence and suspects that I have second thoughts? I am really afraid that I will not be able to recover and will be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life, dragging her down." After the divorce, it was already difficult for her to live with Sunny by herself. Adding me, a disabled person, to the mix would exacerbate her struggles. I love her and just want to bring her happiness instead of dragging her down. What Duncan said was heartfelt. Zachary picked up the coffee cup and drank it slowly. After taking a few sips, he said, "I don't know about this either. My sister is busy now. You'd better wait until she is free and ask her in person. I say it's just a dream. You don't need to ask the truth. Who doesn't dream? I dream every night. I dream that Saren gave birth to a lovely daughter. I hugged my daughter and smiled. Several times, Saren woke me up and asked me what I was dreaming about, and she was laughing so happily. Duncan, based on my male intuition, I think Liberty heard something from someone. Could it be that someone wanted to break up the two of us and deliberately talk nonsense in front of her?" Serenity simply assumed that Ainsley had thoughts about Duncan. There was no evidence. Ordinarily, Ainsley and Duncan were not close, making such words impossible to spread. Lest Serenity turn into the one spreading rumors. This was why Zachary refused to tell the truth about his death. Zachary said, "Who would say bad things about you in front of my sister? Duncan, I think you are just too worried. Saren usually talks to her sister on the phone. They mostly talk about domestic matters and Sunny's matters. Occasionally, Saren will ask about the situation in Jensberg and remind her sister to pay attention to safety. It's not the first time she has met you. She won't say bad things about you in front of her sister." "I see, it's not my sister who is having random thoughts, it's you who are having random thoughts." Duncan looked at Zachary for a moment. According to Zachary's expression, he couldn't find any clues. Could it be that he was overthinking it? Liberty just had a dream. At this time, Liberty called Duncan. As soon as Duncan saw the call from Liberty, he said to Zachary, "Liberty called me, please don't say anything." Zachary smiled and said, "Okay, okay, I won't say anything. You sit over there and talk slowly on the phone. Don't sit here and feed me dog food, which will affect my work." Duncan stood up and sat back in the wheelchair while answering Liberty's call. "Duncan." Liberty's voice was brisk, with a hint of a smile, and it was clear that she was currently in a good mood. If something really happened, she wouldn't be so happy. Duncan's anxious heart was half relieved. "Yeah, I'm here." Duncan responded warmly. Liberty said, "I was busy just now and had to have a meeting. I just returned to the office after the meeting and had some time to reply to you." "What's wrong?" Duncan said nothing. Liberty smiled and said, "Is it because of the content of the dream I told you?" End of chapters 3161 to 3168 of Married at First Sight. Please wait for the next chapters. Don't forget access website novelsaudio.com every day to update, and in the meantime, don't leave the website. You can listen to other famous novel titles such as Ex-Husband's Regret by Evelyn M.M., The Broken Warrior's Daughter by Cooper, When His Eyes Opened by Simple Silence, Can't Win Me Back by Ginger Sue, The CEO's Ex-Wife is a Famous Doctor by Lee L.H.Y.Z., You're Gonna Miss Me When I'm Gone by Cora Smith. And more.